Along with godly sorrow comes confession. So last time we talked about godly sorrow, and before that we talked about repentance being rather starting in the mind, agreeing with God and how he thinks about what's right and what's wrong. And this is all a part of repentance. Confession, godly sorrow, it's all a part of repentance. So I want to start with the main scripture here. 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins to him, God, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what this means is that we can't be cleansed from our sins and forgiven without confession. So what is confession then? So some people think it's just verbally blurting out what you did and going on from there. Or the scene where you see a suspect in a room with two police officers and one is telling them to confess and, you know, and cough up what he did or what they allegedly did or whatever. That's not necessarily what it means. It does involve us verbally saying what we did were wrong. But when we look up the word confess in the Greek dictionary, when they use the term, it meant specifically two things, acknowledgement and agreement. So when you confess your sins, you're acknowledging and agreeing with God that you're wrong and he's right. That's what confession is. So when a person confesses, if they're properly confessing, they're acknowledging that they are wrong and they're agreeing with God that he's right and that his standard of righteousness is true and they missed the mark. And that's basically what confession is. So this may lead to a verbal confession when you verbally say that in prayer to God. Say, God, I did this. I was wrong. You're right. Your standards are true. I sinned against you. Or you can do it in prayer or you know, silently, you know, but it's not necessarily verbal. And so that's how it works. There is no room for blame shifting when it comes to confession. Confession is all about you and what you did, not about what somebody else did or how they caused you to do it. So oftentimes people want to shift the blame and they'll say, yeah, I did this, I did that. And they may blame God and say, well, God, you did this, and so I ended up doing that. No, you don't blame God. You don't blame the other party involved. You just speak up to what you did wrong. You can say specifically, according to scripture, this is what I did wrong. The scriptures teach this. Scripture said lying is wrong. All liars are their part in the lake of fire. I was wrong. I told a lie. I'm confessing that to you, God, or I'm confessing that to the person that I lied to. And that's how it works. So it's more detailed than just saying, I'm sorry. So, and there's no blame shifting, as I said before. You take the responsibility for what you did. And if they want to say, hey, I did something wrong too, that's on them. But it's on you to just express what you did wrong according to the scriptures and leave it at that. Rest your case. You don't go into what you did, this and all that stuff, because that's not confession. Now you're trying to remove some of the guilt or responsibility off yourself. And maybe so, somebody else may have been responsible too as well, but that's not for you to do inside of confession. Confession is all about you acknowledging your wrong and God's righteousness, against God's righteousness rather. So once again, confession is to be made to God via prayer. Without confession, there is no forgiveness and cleansing from God. There is none of that. So if you don't want to confess your sins because of pride, you won't be forgiven for your sins and he won't cleanse that sin. So God will forgive you by not even thinking about that sin no more. He'll get rid of that. He'll forget about it. And the mess in your soul, he'll cleanse that part off. So whatever the sin did to your soul, he'll cleanse that. And that's through the blood of Jesus. We have an article about the blood of Jesus and how it actually works. And when you confess your sins, the blood of Jesus washes away that particular sin that stained your soul. And so now that part of your soul is cleansed now because you confessed it. See, and that's how it works. Confession must be coupled with repentance. I mention this, I keep saying this because it's a part of repentance. Some people would verbally confess their sin, but never morally and mentally actually believe that what they did was wrong. They're just confessing it to get over with the person, to maintain the relationship. Some people, some men in particular, will say, yeah, I was wrong for doing this and that, just to get back good with the woman that they're dealing with, or the relationship or the group. But they never really deep down acknowledge and agree with God that what they did was wrong. That's not real confession. That's just somebody saying something, because usually what happens later on, they do it again because they don't have no real conviction in their soul about it. So they're just saying it just to get back with the person. They're not truly repentant. And then you see their behavior later on is still the same. So that's one thing that people do. Some people will change their behavior. They truly repent, but they won't confess their sin. So a great example is a rich family empire built on oppression turned benevolent. So they got all their wealth and riches through pillaging, ripping people off, abusing people. And then they get to a certain status to where they say, I want to do the right thing now. So on some level, they've repented. They changed their mind. What I did was wrong. All that stuff I did was wrong back in the day. But they're not going to tell everybody what they did. They're not going to confess their sins. You know what? I got all this through oppression, slavery, racism, and stealing it, pillaging, manipulation, witchcraft. They're not going to say that. They're going to hide all of that and never confess it. Proud people do this too. Like I said, they may do something to get somebody, offend somebody, and that person will come to them and say, look, Don't be coming at me like that. You offended me. You know, I'm coming to you because you offended me. And they'll confront that person. That person will say, well, I didn't do nothing wrong. They know they did something wrong, and they know they was wrong for what they did. But instead of confessing and saying, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, brother, I did this to you. Instead, they'll just continue to say that they didn't do nothing wrong. But then later on to say, I'm not going to mess with that person ever again. I'm not going to do what I did to them again. So on some level, they are repentant, but they're not confessing it because they're too proud to say that they were in error. And so that's not acceptable to God. That person will not be forgiven, and they will not have their sins washed away or cleansed because of their attitude. They're too proud to confess. You need to verbally confess, brother, I sinned against you. I was wrong. Instead of just saying, no, I ain't doing nothing wrong. But then later on, say, I'm just not going to do that again to that person or this and that. No, that's not humility. So confession must be made to people you've hurt or offended. And this is directly. So contrary to what the Catholic Church teaches, that you don't have to go to a minister or a preacher or some guy in a booth, a priest or whatever, to confess your sins. Matter of fact, you know, Jesus died on the cross and he opened the gateway so that there's no need for you to speak to a man to talk to God. You know, back in the day, you had to talk through Moses or somebody to talk to God, or there was these mediations where you had to go through people, priests rather. Now it's, you just talk to Jesus, he'll talk to God for you. Christ is your mediator. So when you sin and you sin against God, you confess your sins to God. Talk to the Son about it. You know, Jesus, I did this, that, and the other. And you don't need to talk to no man about your sins. Now, only time you're talking to a man about your sins, if you hurt that man or if you offended that man, that's the only time you're talking to him about your sins. You don't need to go around publicly telling everybody what you did and stuff like that. Only to people you've actually offended or hurt. And I want to say this. Everyone offends God when they sin, whether it's if they've cursed the heavens directly or if they hurt somebody or mistreated their neighbor. So say, for instance, you mistreated your neighbor, you still mistreated God. You still offended God. And the reason why I know that is because David understood that in Psalms chapter 51. He mentioned, against you, God, have I sinned and I sinned alone. When he's saying that, this is him, you know, sinning against Bathsheba. He had her husband killed. He sinned against her through adultery. He did a bunch of lying and all his scheming to do this. He sinned against a lot of people. But yet, he says, I sinned against God. Because all of that is against God's law. All of that is against God's character. So anytime you sin against anybody, you sinning against God. So God is offended, and whoever that person you hurt is offended. So you got to go to God first. God, I'm sorry I sinned against you. I confess my sin. This is what I did. I'm asking for forgiveness. And you do the same thing to the person that you hurt or mistreated or offended. There's a scripture in James chapter 5, verses 16. It goes this way. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. This is deal with the first part of that. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. This opens up another side of confession. Not only will you be forgiven and have your sins cleansed, you may be healed. So that you may be healed. Some people are sick in the church. We got people spiritually sick, physically sick. God is not dealing with those issues because there are hurts and pains and people have not confessed their sins to one another, and it's caused all this mess in the church. You can have a healthy church, both physically and spiritually, if everybody was just being right with one another, confessing their sins, making the offenses that they've made against each other right by confessing those sins and trying to make, you know, forgiving one another and everything of that nature. We got to do that. We got to be humble amongst one another and confess our sins. That way we have a healthy relationship with each other. Without that, we're going to have all kind of things going on where God can't really move because there's so much sin in the camp. That's a sin to God. People who have not confessed their sins to one another, that's a sin. You know, so for you to be proud and say, I'm not saying I'm sorry to so-and-so, and I'm not, well, you're going to have health issues. You may have health issues, both spiritually and physically. And ultimately, God is not cleansing your sin at that time, and he is not forgiving you. And the Bible says, if you're not forgiven, you're not going to make it into heaven or have eternal life in the kingdom. So we got to walk in forgiveness to one another and also have God forgive us through confession. So overall, confession is a part of repentance. If you're repentant, you're confessing. You're saying what you did, or you're praying to God and saying, this is what I did. It's all part of true repentance. Without confession, you won't have any forgiveness. You won't have any cleansing of your sins. So till next time, be filled with the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, confess your sins to one another, confess your sins to God, and that's all I have for today.